The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing over the last couple of years, houses are crumbling due to the presence of pyrite or mica in concrete blocks made from materials from certain quarries. The Defective Concrete Block Grant Scheme is meant to help owners to repair and rebuild, but only 7% of the nearly 2,900 applicants have had their homes actually fixed since the scheme began in 2020. Dr. Martina Cleary is a lecturer in the Technological University of the Shannon and a founder of the Clare Pyrite Action Group, and she's also a recipient in the scheme. Martina, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the scheme was hard fought for, and its inadequacies at the beginning were highlighted and adjusted again and again by the government to silence, I suppose, their critics. But you still feel it's not enough. Explain.
Yes, Pat, I suppose just to give context, I'm based in County Clare, so the problem in my home started in 2020 and we fought a very long and arduous campaign. We finally were admitted to the new scheme and it opened in Clare in 2023. So I applied and I received my grant decision in March 2024, so a year ago. I suppose I'm in the process now. My house was demolished in April. And I suppose what you see on paper is very different to when you're actually living through it. And
sure,
there are so many problems with this grant. So I can discuss in detail with you.
Sure. Well, let's talk about when you apply for the grant, what do you have to demonstrate?
Well, you have to apply. It's a very complex scheme and an awful lot of amendment schedules, paperwork involved.
But you've got to have the house certified as literally falling down, number one, I presume, to show it does have defective blocks and that these are part of the whole scheme. You have to prove that. How do you prove that? How do you go about proving that?
Yeah. So first of all, you're applying to have the house assessed, and that is now controlled by the housing agency. So you send in your basic report and they will evaluate if it meets a damage threshold. And then they go from there, really. You're waiting a very, very long period. It could be 6 to 8 months for them to come out. And with their engineer, not your engineer, they are deciding on the extent of the damage. And I suppose there's a big red flag there as well, because the previous scheme did have, you had access to your own engineer and the engineer is working on your behalf. Unfortunately, now the engineer isn't working on your behalf. They're working for a government agency.
Yeah, well, they're giving you the money, so they have to protect the money that's being paid out. I mean, you can imagine, you know, when you go into court and you'll have one witness employed by the defence and another employed by the prosecution, and one says black and the other says white. You know, you can pay someone to advance your point of view, so you do need some sort of independent arbiter who says, this is not a chancer, this is someone who's got a genuine problem, and therefore we will pay the money. That seems reasonable, that the government should ultimately be the assessor.
Yeah, well, that's very much like asking the fox to assess how much damage it's done. So in the
not quite. No, no, no. I think you're being unreasonable here. The idea being that if you're looking for money from me, that I've got the right to check what the situation is before I pay you the money. That seems reasonable.
Well, I suppose in any legal situation, Pat, you know, if you were going to court, you would have a resource to your own independent expert to prove your point. And in the previous scheme, you had your engineer, and the engineer is working on your behalf to give, I suppose, a non-conflict of interest assessment of your property. Now, that changed with the new scheme, and now it is a government-appointed engineer deciding how much damage has been done. So you really have to know.
But I'm just intrigued by this, that the idea that someone you employ doesn't have a conflict of interest. They're being paid by you, do you know? So it's the same as the government side. So maybe we need a meeting of the two engineers to discuss, you know, back and forth.
My point is there aren't two engineers now. You don't have an independent engineer. So you have the party that has, for all intents and purposes, been the cause of it, deciding how much damage you've done.
Now, the cause of it, these are the quarries, actually, and your belief is what? That the government didn't inspect these quarries and didn't quality control the output of these quarries to the point that concrete blocks were manufactured which were defective?
Absolutely. I mean, where does the buck stop? The regulation of the materials, the building industry, the enforcement of, you know, light touch regulation or non-regulation. So, I mean, that's why we're where we are.
Okay, so anyway, you've got the state's engineer, if you like, making the assessment. But in any event, in your case, they decided the house had to go.
Yes, Pat, absolutely. And apologies for the sound, the reality of living in a mobile home. Yes, so I was fortunate in the sense that I got a demolition, so it's clear cut, everything goes. But many homeowners in Clare, it's less than 50%. I think it's around 40% got a full demolition. Others are coming back with options 2, 3, 4. So it could be take out certain walls on the outside, leave a full two-storey house standing with all inner walls intact, remove some part of that wall. And builders are looking at this and they're refusing to take it on because it's technically unfeasible. Some of them, the engineers are going, well, I can't sign off on that.
Yeah.
You're leaving defective material still in situ.
I can understand that you don't, if you're a builder and you have to sign off on something and you feel somewhere in there there's dodgy stuff and that things are going to start crumbling again, I can't stand over that as a builder. Therefore, I don't want the work.
Absolutely. And there's such a shortfall, as we all know, in the availability of the trades, the builders that are out there. They're taking on bigger houses, the bigger houses that are full demolitions, that it's very clear cut. So people are just being left in limbo. They can't source a builder. They can't source somebody that's going to take the job on within the time frame as well. And they're very strict time frames within the grant structure.
So is the solution literally to knock all the houses, to save nothing?
Yeah, well, the recommendations from the leading pyrite engineers in the country are, yes, you know, if it's pyrite, it has to go with sulfate attack. It has to go everything, foundations as well. So, yeah.
And of course, the cost of the scheme, which is already projected to be in the billions, will increase accordingly if every house has to go. That, I'm sure, caused tremors in Merrion Street. But even for people who do get a full demolition order, you're saying that there is a problem with the cost of building, that things have changed since the limits were set.
Absolutely. So, for example, when I got my decision in 2024, that was based on 2023 building rates, so I'm 2 years behind. Now, there was, within the scheme, supposed to be an annual increase. And then we realised that actually this is, you know, if you'd started or you commenced, you weren't eligible for that, you know. And that we raised this initially with Minister Dara O'Brien, and he promised, yes, we will fix this. So everybody that has commenced can actually get the annual increase. And we're waiting over a year now. The new Minister Brown is in place. And that was supposed to be enacted and put into legislation. We were promised before the Dáil reassessment this summer. It still hasn't been done. It is a small percentage increase. It won't actually bring it in line with the prices the builders are quoting, but everything helps when you're in this situation.
Mm. Now, the question of what standard you have to rebuild to, what are they saying to you? I'm not sure what your home was like before it had to be demolished, but what standard do they insist on the rebuild?
Well, the scheme is like for like, so you're supposed to be building back the same house. And there was much discussion around that. If your house is built in the 1980s and 1990s, and then you're facing the current building regulations as well, you're really supposed to be building back, you know. And I spoke to 14 builders, 10 months to source and finally get a builder that is, you know, is now working on the project. And all of them just looked at me. They just couldn't believe what I was saying to them. You know, I like, no, you're put back in the same windows. You can't put back in the same windows because they're all distorted anyway. The windows in my house didn't even meet the current fire regulations. It was built in 1996. So, you know, you can't, even if you were trying to source windows from 1996, you couldn't, you know. And because of the nature of pyrite damage and the heaving and the kind of expansion of the walls, your windows and doors are going to be damaged. Sure. So you have to replace them.
Okay, so you're going to have to rebuild to a rather better standard than the house might have had at the beginning. Are you prepared yourself to invest, you know, a premium in that to get a better result than the house you had lived in?
I suppose, you know, that comes down to the question if somebody is able to invest.
Sure. More, affordability.
You know? Affordability. And you have to bear in mind as well, Pat, you know, most of us, including myself, are now paying a mortgage, a full mortgage on top of a house that no longer exists, insurance to maintain that mortgage, having to then pay for emergency accommodation while the build is happening. You know, so and then, of course, whatever, you know, the new building rates that are going up constantly. So it's not a matter of investing to improve your home. It's a matter of trying to find the money just to get your home back, you know, just to get a home back at all.
Yeah. So what do you think needs to happen to make this scheme viable? I mean, the numbers are so small of those who are affected by this and those who've finally had their houses fixed.
I think accessibility, you know, well, first of all, things that can be done straight away, address the fact of accessibility to the rate increases without further delay, because that will bring a little bit of extra money in. Everybody should be able to get those annual increases. The fact that the SCSI, that's how the rates were calculated, they are totally not in sync with the current building rates. And you've also to bear in mind, Pat, as well, that this isn't a normal build. You're first of all demolishing a home, you know, to get back to the home, and you're paying obviously your engineer's fees, and they're all calculated into the fee of rebuilding the house. So I gave the figure there in the Times recently. My grant to rebuild a home in 2025 was €187,920. Now take out of that €20,000 demolition, €10,000 engineer's fees. I have about €155 roughly to build back a new home. The smallest quote I got to build back my very small bungalow, quite a small little bungalow in County Clare, €230,000 up to €300,000. That's where you're beginning. I will say that the you know, there's a lot of discussion from government of up to €460,000 available. That is, number one, if you have a very big house, 4 to 5 bedroom rural house, you will get that.
Is it and calculated on the square footage? Is that how they work
it out? Calculated, exactly. And the smaller houses, if you've got 460,000 and those bigger houses are coming in, I've heard quotations on 30 to 45,000 for demolition. You take that off and another 10 to 15,000 for your engineer on the bigger houses, you still have around ballpark 400,000 to rebuild a house. Now, that's, you know, in the current climate, it's, you're still going to be short, but it's very different to building a house on 155,000. So the smaller houses are really, really suffering in this.
Yeah, because every house, whether it's one bedroom or four bedrooms, it's got a kitchen, a bathroom, and so on. It's got, various things. It's what you're building. You're building a lot of air inside the walls of the four-bedroomed house, you know.
Yeah.
So it's and a bit like small cars versus big cars. Small cars have engines and seats and all the rest. Big cars have two, and they've also got an awful lot of air inside them.
Yeah, and if you have to take that, whichever size car it is, and you have to scrap it, and, you know, and dispose of it in environmentally, correct way and dispose the materials correctly, it's one car and the same car. Like, we're all of the houses are paying these front demolition costs and engineering costs, and the grants for the smaller houses are not, you know, it's, there's no contingency whatsoever. So there are shortfalls there. I will say, well, even getting started, you know, you're paying up front. So when it comes to there's an ancillary grant for emergency accommodation. Now, that was 15,000 at the point where I got my grant decision. They upped it slightly to 16,500. But first of all, you're looking at least a year to build. So if you can find temporary accommodation now and rentals, I was just looking at RTE this morning. They're saying there's around 2,300 houses available nationwide. The average rental cost is just over 2,055. So that ancillary grant is going to cover you for your emergency accommodation for maybe 8 months, and the same with your storage, whereas your build is actually taking from 12 to 16 months. So those grants are completely short, you know, straight away you're in the red.
Well, thank you very much for clarifying the range of problems that attach to this ongoing scheme. Dr. Martina Cleary, founder of the Clare Pyrite Action Group, lecturer at the Technological University of the Shannon. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.